Welcome to the audio edition of In Touch Online for May 2023, with an introduction from the Provincial Grand Master. I'm sure that, like me, many of you will be sitting in front of the television on Saturday the 6th of May to watch the coronation of King Charles III and Queen Camilla. It promises to be a truly wonderful spectacle full of vibrancy, colour, and the pageantry for which this country is famed. Tradition will play a huge part in the event. After all, what sort of coronation would it be without an orb and sceptre, or a carriage procession with an escort of the household cavalry, a royal salute from the King's Troop Royal Horse Artillery, and best of all, the opportunity to enjoy a jolly time with a knees up in your street? I do trust that you will enjoy the day. I mentioned that tradition will play an important part in the day's events, and rightly so. However, the King has been quite determined to introduce a number of changes to the way things have been done in the past. Treading the line between modernity and tradition, as we all know, is a difficult pathway to navigate. But navigate it we must, as circumstances dictate that we cannot always continue to maintain the status quo, and that change is the immutable law of life. I was interested to read that one of the main changes will be to the length of the coronation ceremony itself. In 1953, for those who can recall, the coronation service of Queen Elizabeth II lasted a taxing 3 hours. It is the hope of the King that his coronation service will be over within 1 hour, although I did note that invited guests will have to be seated in Westminster Abbey by 7 a.m. for the service, which is planned to start at 11 a.m. Given the almost universal nature of the ceremonies carried out in our Masonic lodges, I am constantly amazed at the difference in time taken by lodges to perform the same ceremony, and I do wonder if our lodge directors of ceremonies, together with the lodge secretaries, could do more and review the way that meetings are conducted, in order to reduce any element of tedium that might occur. One suggestion frequently made is to submit the lodge almoners and the lodge charity stewards' reports to the members with the lodge summons. Another, which I'm glad to see being practiced in many of our lodges, is to ask that one brother gives greetings on behalf of the visiting brethren. I'm aware that this has caused some discussion in the dining room. Interestingly, very few brethren really know the history and origin of greetings, and some actually believe it to be part of the emulation ritual. Finally, after mentioning the coronation and the innovative changes being made to the 2023 event, it seems only right to point out the fairly major innovation being championed by the Pro Grandmaster Jonathan Spence. For many of us, one of the most enjoyable aspects of Freemasonry is attending the quarterly communication of Grand Lodge. At this point, I should add that as the Grand Swordbearer, I am expected to attend, but I really do enjoy visiting Freemasons' Hall, and it is quite uplifting to sit in the beautiful Grand Temple, absorbing the sights and sounds of over 2,000 brethren taking part in the meeting. In September 2023, for the first time since before the Second World War, a quarterly communication meeting will be held outside of London. The venue could not be any better for Wiltshire Freemasons, as the chosen location is the International Convention Centre, Caerleon, near Newport, South Wales. I really do trust as many brethren as possible will use the online facility to register their interest in securing what I guarantee will be a hot ticket event on Wednesday the 13th of September. On Wednesday the 28th of March, Kev Parks, Jeff Johnson, Dave Logan and Neil Gordon from the Lodge of Brothers in Arms attended the opening of the new Scots Lane Dementia Day Centre. The Lodge have donated funds during this time, but more importantly, members of the Lodge have, over the last 18 months, been supporting the project by helping out with plastering, painting, lifting furniture and generally assisting in any way they could. It was a great feeling to see Alzheimer's Support get the much-needed Dementia Daycare Centre finally opened in Salisbury. The Lodge also presented a cheque for £1,000 that was raised by a raffle and auction during the Ladies' Night Dinner on the 25th of March at the High Post Golf Club. The Prestonian Lecturer of 2012, Worshipful Brother Tony Harvey, is back to present the Rectitude Essay 2023 at Pickwick Masonic Hall on Monday the 15th of May at 4:15 p.m. The subject of this year's lecture is Historic Links Between the Craft and the Holy Royal Arch. For further information, email 335@pglwilts.org.uk. Time is running out fast if you want to book a place at the Vaston Lodge May Ball on Saturday the 20th of May at Alexandra House, Rorton, Swindon. With two live bands and dancing till late, you're guaranteed good music, good food, and above all, good company. Just contact Jonathan Bourne at googlemail.com. The Provincial Grand Master is pleased to confirm that the September quarterly communication meeting of Grand Lodge will be held at the International Convention Centre, Caerleon, near Newport in South Wales, on Wednesday the 13th of September. Very few Wiltshire Freemasons, if any, will have ever attended a quarterly communication outside of London, and this will be a superb opportunity for those unable to travel to the capital to experience the joy of what is a very special occasion. We're making it very easy for Wiltshire Freemasons to register an interest in attending September's quarterly communication meeting. Just click on the link on the online text version of this newsletter. The Stonecutters chapter of the Widow's Sons Masonic Bikers Association has 55 members consisting of two elements. The first element is the Cornerstones, which includes non-Masons, such as wives or partners and children, and entered apprentice and fellow craft Freemasons. The Widow's Sons are the second element, who are all Master Masons of good standing and a lodge under the jurisdiction of, or which is recognised by, the United Grand Lodge of England. There are currently 33 Widow's Sons in the Stonecutters. The Widow's Sons is not an order beyond the craft, although there are specialist motorcycle lodges, and the Widow's Sons Lodge operates in the Masonic province of Yorkshire North and East Ridings. When meeting or riding, Widow's Sons are visible and audible representatives of Freemasonry. Therefore, they are required to represent the fraternity in a positive light. The Stonecutters serve to raise Masonic awareness while attending public events and supporting regular lodges, and they also raise money for charitable causes. While Widow Sons wear identifying regalia, also known as cuts, with front patches, they do not wear their regalia in open lodge or at the festive board. However, the Provincial Grand Master is happy for members to wear their waistcoats when the lodge is closed in order that photographs can be taken. The consent of the Master is required before any such action is taken. Stonecutters had a busy year in 2022, with monthly Natter Nights, quiz nights, Skittles competitions and many other social events, including regular rides. In the same year, the Stonecutters raised and donated £5,415 to charities. 12 members joined Wiltshire Summer Lodge, and to top off the year, a cornerstone was initiated into the lodge. The 2023 riding season has got off to a fantastic start as the weather improves. The Stonecutters have raised £1,000 towards Wiltshire Province Festival with their limited edition and uniquely serial numbered Stonecutters Widow's Sons Challenge coins. Over the Easter Bank holiday, members visited Spurgeon's, the children's charity, and Julia's House Children's Hospice in Devizes to donate several hundred Easter eggs. The look of sheer joy on the children's faces when the adult staff said, "Chocolate eggs and motorbikes" made it all worthwhile. Planning is now focused on the largest event of the year, the old annual Cider Rally in May, which will see the Stonecutters head to Bridport to meet with the Devon Quarrymen and other local-ish chapters for a weekend of riding, fundraising and fun. Any brethren wishing to learn more or join the Stonecutters Widow's Sons can find more information on their website at www.stonecutterssmba.org.uk. As the provincial charity steward, I have been very impressed with the response to the Wiltshire 2028 Festival, and especially the number of brethren who have made a single payment or signed up to a regular payment plan and qualified for a festival jewel. During my travels around lodges, I have received some feedback which suggests that some members are unaware of the qualifying amount for a festival jewel, and some are asking for more details of the process to obtain one. Your charity steward is the go-to person, as he is the face of the festival in the lodge, and therefore best placed to manage the process of awarding jewels to the brethren of your lodge. The process is as follows. A brother or companion qualifies for a festival jewel when they have given either £600 to the festival, or signed up for a regular payment plan that will reach £600 by December 2028, or a combination of the two. Lodges are encouraged to order at least 10 jewels ready to be awarded when a brother has met the criteria set out above. Jewels are available from the communications officer. Place your order by email to pcowiltshire@gmail.com. please pay £10 per joule by bank transfer to the details given on the text version of this newsletter. The Provincial Grand Master has asked that Lodge charity stewards present jewels in open lodge and congratulate the recipient. Some may think this to be divisive. Others may see this as observing the courtesy of thanking a brother who has practiced that virtue we all seek to admire, and it is important to encourage others to follow their example. In his capacity as Most Excellent Grand Superintendent, the Provincial Grand Master has authorised the wearing of the Wiltshire 2028 Festival Jewel in chapter convocations, where they should be worn with pride. Making a single payment donation or signing up to a regular payment plan could not be easier. To donate, just follow the link on the text newsletter or scan the QR code by it with your phone camera. When Stephen Key of New Temple Lodge, meeting in the Planks in Swindon, heard that the children's ward at Swindon's Great Western Hospital needed a fridge for the parents' room, he sprang into action and not only donated a brand new unit, but ensured it was tested and rated safety compliant before installing it. The parents' room is a vital resource for families. It's a comfortable, quiet space to take a break, but also a place to make a drink and get some food. Traditionally, it has always had a kettle, microwave, and a fridge. As one mother said, there isn't always time to go to the hospital's on-site canteen if your child is very sick, and it can soon get pricey if you go there often, so bringing food from home to eat at your convenience makes a big difference. But she found the fridge was missing, and in its place was a note explaining it was out of order and to ask a member of staff for further help. She later discovered it had been broken for months and the ward was waiting for funds to replace it. As you can imagine, Steve replacing the fridge is an absolute boon to the parents visiting the ward. Sometimes the gift of a much-needed piece of equipment is a more tangible way of expressing the distinguishing characteristic of a Freemason's heart. I mean charity. And Steve certainly proved his point with his donation. In addition, the New Temple Lodge approved donations totalling £3,000 at the April regular meeting. And from Simon Ellingham, as many readers know, I am the Deputy Grand Superintendent of the Royal Arch in Wiltshire, and it really is a pleasure to be given the opportunity to write a short piece to explain the unique relationship that exists between the craft and the Royal Arch. Everyone knows the words of the preliminary declaration of the Book of Constitutions, but the bit I want to focus on is the stated fact that pure ancient masonry consists of 3 degrees and no more. Those of the Entered Apprentice, the Fellow Craft, and the Master Mason, including the Supreme Order of the Holy Royal Arch. In those 32 words, the relationship between the craft and the Royal Arch is made abundantly clear. Together they constitute pure ancient Freemasonry. I often think of the words of the song Love and Marriage by Sammy Chan and Jimmy Van Heusen when I try to explain the connectivity of the craft and Royal Arch. Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Now, I'm not suggesting that a Freemason can't just be a member of the craft, but I would pose the question, why would you not want to continue your Masonic journey and complete your knowledge of pure ancient Masonry? We are one organisation on one journey, and we should do it together. The importance of the Royal Arch in the Freemason's journey is best set out by the Grand Master, who is also the first Grand Principal. No Mason should be joining other orders without first completing their journey in pure ancient Freemasonry by becoming a member of the Royal Arch. One of the most frequent questions posed to me is to do with the wearing of Masonic jewels. And, despite numerous articles in Across the Plain, In Touch Online, and on social media, it seems as if there is still some confusion as to what is right and what is wrong. Following a conversation on this subject at a recent lodge meeting, I was asked if I would repeat the previous guidance. The first thing to say is there is little point in relying on the Book of Constitutions, and absolutely no point whatsoever in referring to your lodge bylaws. The former is only really relevant in determining the design of a jewel, which must be approved by the Grand Master, Rule 241. However, Rule 239 does make a very interesting point in stating that jewels to be worn are as hereinafter prescribed. Lodge bylaws are silent on such things as jewels, and rightly so. as a lodge does not have any authority to create a jewel or determine the wearing of a jewel without the express permission of the Grand Master, sometimes delegated to the provincial Grand Master. Which leaves the inquisitive Freemason to seek answers elsewhere. But where? Thankfully, there are any number of good books that give helpful guidance, not least the excellent Masonic Etiquette Today, written by Graham Redman. There is also our very own booklet, The Etiquette of a Freemason, with a foreword by the Provincial Grand Master in which he states, "While bylaws and the constitutions are classed as rules, just as important are the customs that control behaviour in social groups or social situations. This is often referred to as etiquette, and for many, doing what is right and proper, over and above what falls within the strict rule of law, is a mark of common decency. Wiltshire Freemasons are encouraged to follow provincial guidelines in respect of etiquette. Masonic jewels can best be categorised as collar jewels and breast jewels, and then as jewels issued by UGLE, the province, and your lodge. If qualified to do so, you should wear the Royal Arch jewel, and it is always worn as the first jewel on the left breast nearest the heart. Again, subject to qualification, the next jewel is the UGLE Tercentenary jewel, followed by the Provincial Festival jewel, when in festival and until it has been designated a permanent jewel, and then by any lodge jewel, which in Wiltshire should only be worn in the lodge to which they refer. Incidentally, it is quite strange to see brethren still wearing the 2005 and 2017 festival jewels. Far better to be wearing the Wiltshire 2028 festival jewel. Provincial officers of this province and grand officers do not tend to wear founders, past masters and other lodge-specific jewels. It might come as a surprise to many former and serving members of the armed forces to discover that the wearing of military medals is not advocated by the Book of Constitutions. Indeed, Rule 239 is explicit in determining that the regalia, clothing, insignia, and jewels to be worn, as hereinafter prescribed, and no brother shall be admitted into any meeting of Grand Lodge, or of any subordinate lodge, without the clothing appropriate to his rank under the Grand Lodge. You'll note that Masonic etiquette dictates that it is inappropriate to wear civil or military decorations and medals with Masonic regalia. When we enter the lodge room, we leave our distinctions of ordinary life behind us, and are all brethren. Thank you for listening.